Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian. So today I am doing an interview with Dr. Sergio Azzolino, who is a chiropractic neurologist in San Francisco. And he's also director of a brain balance center as well. Dr. Azzolino is an internationally renowned clinician who's been serving his profession and patients from around the world since 1995. On May 24, 2012, he was appointed by Governor Edmund G. Brown, Jr. to the California State Board of Chiropractic Examiners, and on January of 2014, he was elected chairman of the board. He continues also to serve as chairman of the Scope of Practice and Enforcement Committee, period. He holds board certification in chiropractic neurology through the Chiropractic Neurology Board, as well as board certification in pain management through the American Academy of Pain Management. He has also been on the faculty of Life Chiropractic College West. Okay, so
I'm start endorsing things that you didn't even know you endorsed because
no,
I
it has
what
nothing
said.
To do with endorsing. Yeah, I wouldn't segment any.
No, I don't.
So, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule. And so, as I mentioned, with this book that I'm writing, one of the things that I'm interested in is how individuals can optimize their brain health starting early on, rather than waiting until dementia sets in or Alzheimer's, things of that nature. So one of the keys is you are director of a brain balance center also, but you're also a chiropractic neurologist. And so,
yep. So that's one thing. I'd like to keep the brain balance out of it.
All right. Very good.
Focus, because we can do things at a better level here.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
Brain balance is not a medical approach.
No.
It's really just an after-school program for kids.
Oh, and, okay. But there's some nutrition is involved. You do nutrition here as well with patients.
I've been doing functional medicine for 20 years.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Excellent. So are there particular, when someone would come in and they say, I just want to be functionally at highest level as possible for my whole life, are there particular neurological evaluations or things that you used as baseline and that you do periodic? What kind of things would you use for that?
Absolutely. From a neurologic perspective, we always start with a very comprehensive evaluation dealing with everything from your sensory system to your motor system. It's a very typical test that many neurologists may do. But we go far beyond that, really looking at balance and coordination from the typical Romberg's testing. But we also have computerized balance posturography and balance platform that we can get a very accurate assessment of what your sway pattern is, what your limit of stability is, how far you can move in one direction or another.
Mm-hmm.
We look at hand-eye coordination and reaction times.
Mm-hmm. Is that computerized thing?
Computerized also. We also look at something called a VNG, video nystagmography, which there are infrared goggles that we put on. And looks at all the different ocular and vestibular reflexes that really gives a good representation of how various parts of the brain are working.
So which parts?
We also do something called the saccadometer.
That
how do you
spell
that? Saccades. S-A-C-C-A-D-O-M-E-T-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
That looks at saccades. Saccades are quick eye movements largely generated from the frontal lobe. And so the idea is we do a very comprehensive assessment. We get a good idea of all the various functions of your brain, and from there can determine exactly where your strengths and weaknesses are with anybody.
Right.
It doesn't make a difference at what level they're at, from somebody that's suffering from Parkinson's disease to an elite athlete. We could generally identify where their strengths and weaknesses are, identify things that can be improved upon, and then put together a program that's very specific for their needs.
Fantastic. Now, if a child would come in, you can do these also at that level and then track them over time?
Sure, absolutely. And the other thing we do with children, you probably are aware of primitive and postural reflexes.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things that need to be assessed on children.
Yeah.
And we deal with a great number of children here. We deal with a lot of autistic children, a lot of children with learning disabilities and ADHD. And so we look at these things not only in the early stages, but as you mentioned, over time.
Yeah. And so is that something that you would say most physicians or general doctors are doing? Or is it, I found in my own practice that there's this massive gap that's going on and it's not really being done generally. And so it's great that you're doing that here because it's a big area that's very important. It's not getting covered.
Sure. So, certainly, we can't speak for what most are doing.
That's right.
Because we don't fully know what right. most are doing, but I could tell you there is a gap. I agree with you there. And the areas and the things that we're dealing with and focusing on, there mm-hmm. are very few people that are looking at these from an objective perspective.
Right.
There are a lot of practitioners out there that think they're working with brain health and think that they're doing things to promote better brain function, mm-hmm. from nutritional things to exercises, a lot of times without any objective parameters or markers mm-hmm. to really track.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we really strive and pride ourselves on yeah. is to identify areas of weakness, mm-hmm. identify, you know, areas of dysfunction, and then put together a program that's going to specifically address those. And then it gives us an opportunity to really recheck these things. Sometimes we'll recheck them in the same day and see significant difference.
All right.
Sometimes we'll check them a week later.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, we're always checking to see, are the modalities that we're utilizing working appropriately?
Yeah.
And so the nice thing is we could take an individual and tell you within a short period of time, yes, we're going to be able to help you, or no, we're not seeing some change. But as you know from your practice, when you're doing all the right things nutritionally, with blood delivery, make sure you're providing the appropriate nutrients to the brain mm-hmm. and doing the appropriate things activation-wise,
yeah.
then you can generally see some significant change
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm.
any condition.
Fantastic. So if someone is coming in and generally they check out pretty okay, you do a few tweaks here and there. How frequently do you think they should be reassessed? Is it like once a year, once every couple of years? Just if
sure.
someone's like really wants to have this incredible life that right up until the moment they die, they're just like super and then bam, they're gone.
It really depends on what they're doing with their life.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because as you know, one person may check out well, but they're sitting in front of a computer all day.
Sure.
So from a simple chiropractic perspective, there are structural things there that with time
mm-hmm.
can come into play.
Mm-hmm.
From a neurologic perspective, there are things that come into play with eye function and eye dysfunction from staring at a computer screen.
Mm.
And now they're utilizing their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Certain parameters of movement may start to become weaker and on from there. Others may be fine, but they're an athlete. And so things are constantly changing in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't tell you that every single person should be checked quarterly like
right.
you pay your taxes.
Right. Right. Right.
But I could tell you that really, you know, certainly looking at things from a preventive perspective
mm-hmm.
has great benefit, as
yeah.
you know. And on the same level, really depending on your lifestyle, is going to dictate what you should and shouldn't do.
So are there also any written evaluation things that you use that people check off symptomology or things? You find those
yeah,
are helpful
too?
Or?
You know, we utilize a couple different things. We certainly have a variety of different questionnaires,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the UPDRS that's common with Parkinson's disease to other head injury questionnaires. We utilize something called C3 Logics, which is one of the most up-to-date and, you know, most advanced pre-screening for concussions. We're also an impact provider. So we can look at a lot of these things.
What's an impact provider?
Impact is the standardized test out there right now that's utilized for concussions. Or
all right.
Pre-screening for concussions.
Ah.
The C3 Logics is very beneficial because it's iPad-based. It really gives us a tremendous amount of information
mm-hmm.
about people's reaction times and whatnot. We have much more sophisticated machinery here,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but the C3 Logics is mobile. So we can check people, check students, check kids, athletes, and within 15, 20 minutes get a good baseline of where they're at with various functions from balance and coordination, reaction time, working memory, and whatnot. And then if there's an incident, you can recheck immediately. A trainer can check on the field.
Mm.
And you get a good baseline on where they were and where they are following concussion and know exactly where their deficits are. So once again, the benefit there is the concussions can be elusive to a lot of people. There's a constellation of symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people are commonly trying to treat the symptoms without evaluating the brain from a functional perspective
mm-hmm.
to see where the deficits are.
Right, right, right.
And so when we have more data and we can see where the person's deficits are, then we could put together a program. It may be some ocular activities. It may be some vestibular rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
It may be some
mm-hmm.
manipulation with some different physical activity.
Right.
It may be something more focusing on balance and coordination. Maybe something dealing with hand-eye coordination. The key is really identifying the problem,
yeah.
and that's where I think a lot of people fall short.
Mm-hmm. So you just were you at the Super Bowl?
I was.
And so you work with elite athletes also.
I do.
And so is this kind of thing that is a baseline that is being used, like the impact, is it being used in the professional sports? Or
impact's being used in all professional sports. I should say all, but, you know, certainly in the NFL.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Yes, it is.
On all players, and so there's a baseline now. And is that something new?
No, it's not new, but it's not as, you know, and I certainly don't want to challenge the impact people. But
right.
C3 Logix seems to be far more innovative.
Ah, all right.
And far more accurate.
So, but there is some sort of assessment that is being done more now than ever was in the past as far as baseline.
Sure.
So that, because it is a big issue of this impact.
It's
injuries,
a huge issue.
Right? Yeah.
It's a huge issue, but I think when it comes to concussions, the deficits lie in the actual treatment.
Ah, interesting.
What do you do? I mean, there's many that just recommend rest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, rest is extremely important, but, you know, we have the broad spectrum here of a full department dealing with neurophysiological rehab.
Right.
And diagnostics and rehab. And then we also have a hyperbaric chamber. We also do IV nutrients here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's one person that we may mostly do rest, another person that may be focusing more on doing hyperbarics in the early stages, and then yet someone else that may be doing only rehab, and someone else that may be benefiting from all three.
Mm-hmm. So there may be oxygen deficits that you do hyperbaric.
Hyperbarics are great for speeding up tissue recovery healing times.
Yeah, there is I don't know if you know anything about neurologic release center technique, meningeal compression, etc. But I was at a conference out in Kansas, and mostly chiropractors doing it. And one of the people who's a chiropractor used to be in the Oakland Raiders, and he said, I mean, I can't remember if he, I think he was a fullback, and he went out and he got like smashed up, and he was like totally out of it, and he ended up having his best performance, but they made him go right back out, and he doesn't remember the last 15 minutes of the entire thing, and as it, with a concussion, he was just like out there playing, and they made him keep going. So that was in the past.
Common story.
Yeah. Exactly.
Common story, and we certainly can't just blame it on the NFL. We can't blame it on the coaches.
I mean, the players
because
are out there too.
Many of these players are sacrificing their own bodies to.
That's what they do.
To keep in the game.
Yeah, exactly. So, so it's very interesting that these assessments are being used now. And so that's also something that, for like work injuries, are you doing that for that too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the key is we don't deal with just elite athletes, we deal with people.
Mm-hmm.
Of all different walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly with the technology that we utilize and the knowledge that we have, we can really fine-tune an elite athlete, whereas many others may not be able to see their areas of weakness, may not be able to put the pieces of the puzzle together.
And why is that?
Well, because when we look at things like hand-eye coordination, most elite athletes have far better hand-eye coordination than all of us.
Uh-huh.
But if we put them on a computer and we test them, we could always challenge them to a point to where we can see where their weakness is.
Right.
When we look at combining that with eye movements, it may be extremely significant in a hockey player whose eyes are constantly moving quickly while they're moving and getting vestibular input. Same thing with a football player. So you really need to look at the entire package and all these different aspects. And the computerized testing looking at vestibular and ocular reflexes is just spectacular for identifying areas of weakness.
That's one of the areas that you are teaching, like at Carrick and other places? Or?
Carrick has been teaching for years. I'm currently not doing a great deal of teaching.
All right.
I'm chairman of the state board here in California for chiropractic. I'm vice chair of the American Board of Chiropractic Neurology. So very active in many regards, you know, with a lot of different things in that regard. But nonetheless, back to your question as far as with work injuries,
Yeah.
I mean, most people that are injuring themselves not because they're lifting cars or lifting thousands of pounds you know, a bookcase fell on them.
Mm-hmm.
Many are injuring themselves because they were at a pre-injury status. They weren't functioning optimally from there.
Right.
Now, that within itself may have some controversy in regards to, is it a compensable injury
or not.
Our goal is not to get caught in that game, but just do what we can that's best for the patient.
And so you still are a QME?
I am not a QME right now because since I've been chair of the state board, I have not been doing much I haven't been doing any QMEs or any of the med legal work in that regard.
Is that because you can't be on the board? Or?
Could be a conflict of interest.
Oh. Hmm. I mean, I'm a QME. Acupuncture QME, and I'm always looking for other, like, chiropractic QMEs who can do the disability portion, because, you know, we officially can't do that. even if I know how to do it. So that's why I was also asking.
I give you a list of people. There's a, you know, quite a bit of legislation taking place or concerns right now with specialties not being recognized by the Industrial Medical Council or Division of Work Comp, I should say.
So, yeah, so I mean, I know that QME, there's a random list of three that's generated. So I don't see how that could be a conflict of interest, but you do
the
it.
The conflict may be just in serving as an expert.
Oh, I see. Oh.
And so I've not done any expert witness work since
I've been serving
on the board making decisions.
All right. That's good enough. So,
nor do I have much time to do QME.
And you coach.
Oh, yeah.
You have two daughters.
I have two kids. I have a daughter that's soon to be 9, a son that's 10, a stepson that's 10, and a stepdaughter that's 13. And so I've coached soccer, t-ball, baseball, basketball.
That's fun.
It's great. Oh, yeah, that's great.
And you grew up doing sports yourself?
I did. I find coaching to be, you know, I think there's... Okay. It's one of the best parts of the day when you can inspire a little kid, you know, to just continue playing or to get a life lesson out of the sports. And I really have a pretty strong opinion that I think, unfortunately, many people are utilizing sports right now on a very competitive level with kids. And, you know, I just listened to John Madden this morning speak, and exactly what I think, and that is, we're making a mistake by forcing kids to play one sport right now. They should be playing as many sports as possible. And from another perspective, I think being on a team and being in the game, they should be hopefully learning some good life lessons.
Mm-hmm. So teamwork and that kind of thing, as well as the competitive
and persevering, you know,
right?
Practice
right.
And you know how to get better.
So
many people, unfortunately, in our society, I think that things are inherent talent. And being raised by two immigrant parents that didn't speak or read English much, I don't think it's inherent talent always.
Yeah,
I think there's as much nature and nurture involved.
So any other last words, if this is a podcast at some point? Last words as far as suggestions, people, what they should do to try to keep their brain optimal?
Certainly there's three things we all need. Number one is good oxygen delivery.
Mm-hmm.
That could start with ensuring that we're not smoking and avoiding pollutants and things of that nature, making sure that we're breathing appropriately. As you probably know, most people don't breathe well.
Right.
They don't understand, diaphragmatic breathing and whatnot, and posturally. You know, you could have the best lungs in the world, but if you're rounded forward and you spend your day hunched over a computer, you're not optimizing your oxygen intake. We need nutrients. And not only do we need nutrients from good foods, as you know, our food sources can be polluted and contaminated, but we need good digestive function.
Right.
And having this stuff looked at regularly by a qualified individual that can look at blood work and make sure things are moving in the right direction is wise. I've been practicing functional medicine for 20 years. We utilize a lot of supplements. I don't think the answer to good health is by loading up your stomach with supplements. I think it's learning how to extract good nutrients from food.
Right.
And lastly,
but sometimes you need them. Because,
I think it's extremely important to take them, and I take a lot, but certainly I don't think the answer is to...
not simply that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And lastly, I do think that activation is the most important thing, activation of our nerves. Exercise has been proven to be one of the few things that's really beneficial for neurodegenerative disorders to... stroke rehab and whatnot. And so on that level, I think the key is really not just doing general exercise. That's great. But I think identifying and understanding our areas of weakness, we all have them. Understanding where our weakness is and doing things very specifically to, you know, or implementing specific exercises in our life to make a difference in our brain will make a world of difference.
So the variety of different exercises and sports you had suggested is a good thing instead of just a single sport. That would also help to have a more variety of the activation of different motions, different parts of the brain in different ways.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, most children would do better with activity. But the sad part is there's a lot of kids that are not playing sports nowadays because it's become so competitive.
And
I do think that happens with coaches. It happens with parents also.
Yeah.
Parents can be blamed for a lot of this.
Yeah.
Playing sports should not be just about having aspirations to become a pro. It should be about, you know, learning new activities and enjoying and developing some agility and some you know, better coordination that will carry throughout with us throughout life. Because certainly when we see people that have been musicians or people that have been athletes and they sustain an injury, their brains are generally better plasticized in those parts. Mm. And we can get some of that function back. Or as if somebody hasn't done much and has been a couch potato, it's going to be a far greater challenge. And I do think having sports injuries teaches us about pain and how to not be disabled by pain.
Very wise words. Thank you so much for your interview.
My pleasure. So when's your book coming out?
To buy your copy of Superbrain, Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life, go to superbrain-thebook.com. That's superbrain-thebook.com. Information can also be found on naturalsolutionswithdrj.com.